Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope, yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome back if you listened to our first episode. Hello, we're back for a second episode. And here to take the rest of your mailbag, because there's a lot of reaction, man. I mean, from the last week or so, with all the trades that went down, craziness, we only got to a fraction of what we wanted to talk about. And on top of that, the Bulls are in a little bit of rut. So we're going to take all your voicemails, your text messages here in this bonus episode. But first, Matt, how are you?
Jordan, what's going on, buddy? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to chatting more with our fellow Bulls fans. Lots of voicemails, texts, and some emails to get to. So let's freaking dive in, baby.
Let's go to the first voicemail. This is from the 712.
Matt, Jordan, long time, first time. Ian from Omaha here. So I'm listening to you guys talking about the potential of the third star in Bradley Beal. I just kind of wanted to get your guys' take on if AK and, you know, more so Billy Donovan get their hands on Patrick Williams for a whole summer, you know, versus the abbreviated offseason of last summer. Do you think they could turn him into a more aggressive piece and more of an offensive piece? He seems to have all the tools. He just doesn't seem aggressive enough at this point, but he's also 19. So I just want to hear you guys elaborate on that. Pod rocks, listen every day, and appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Ian. Glad that you're listening to the podcast and glad that you're checking in for the first time. Matt, I talked about this on Monday. I played the cut from the Hoops Collective, their reaction to the Vooch trade, and it was brought up. I don't remember who brought it up. It wasn't Windhorse. It was one of the guests. I think he had Arnovitz on and somebody else. I don't remember who exactly said this, but here's the 50 seconds that they were talking about the Bulls potentially adding a third star.
Guy in charge of the Bulls, he's their vice president of basketball operations, his official title. They have prioritized shooting from the moment they got there. You know, with guys like Thad Young and Pat Williams, their number 4 pick in this year's draft, with Thomas Satoransky at the point, I do think they have a good mix of defensive players around them. I think they can be pretty good. And the other thing I'm curious about going forward is, you know, when you would talk to people about Billy Donovan, the thing that would all repeatedly come up about him is that he's a guy that still has great relationships with his players, going back to both guys that were with him at Florida and guys he recruited in college. He's a guy that all these guys who are coming up now really like. And the guy I've been curious about with the Bulls since Billy got there is Bradley Beal. And Beal's going to be a free agent in a year, and the Bulls could be in position to get him in a year. If you're a team that's, say, fourth or fifth in the East and in the mix in the playoffs, that's probably a lot more appealing.
So let's first start with, I'm just so happy that the Bulls are finally in a conversation about acquiring that third star. It's crazy to think about that. This is a real first opportunity that they've had where it's not ridiculous to be talking this way. We've added the second star. Now it's about adding the third star. I understand the connections make a lot of sense. We've talked about Beal a bunch here. I took away from this, though, man, I was just so happy that they were finally in a conversation about adding a third star. But what about, to Ian's point, about adding Beal? Is that a possibility? And what about turning Patrick Williams into the next potential secondary scorer or third scorer on this team?
Well, look, if Beal decides that he's done in Washington and wants to go somewhere else, if Chicago, a big market team, a very, you know, hopefully getting back to being well-respected organization now that there's some new people running it, a historic organization, if they were a playoff contender without Beal, then he could say, man, if I go join that team, imagine the damage we could do. There is a line of, you know, logic there that is plausible. But right now, the Bulls are not a playoff team. Clinging to the 10th, in my opinion, not a playoff team. So the Bulls would have to have a hell of a finish this season for that to maybe become something that were on the table. I also think that there is the glaring problem of Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine having very similar games. And that what this team desperately, desperately needs, as we are all blatantly aware, is a point guard. And Beal ain't that. Zach LaVine ain't that. You need a point guard. Beal doesn't solve that problem. Neither does Patrick Williams, as Ian was talking about. But if you can go find yourself a quality, you don't even have to be a star point guard, a good starting point guard in the offseason in one way or another. The question of, generally speaking, could Patrick Williams become a third star where your stars are your shooting guard, Zach, your combo forward, P-Dub, and your center, Vooch? Yes, I think that scenario can possibly play out. Some guys in this league figure things out quickly, and they can be stars as a second-year player who's 20 or a third-year player who's 21, which is the age timeline that 19-year-old P-Dub Brook is on right now. It's feasible. And the other element that I think could escalate that development for Patrick Williams, sadly, maybe for some, not for others, is if Lowry's gone. If Lowry, and whether or not he fits into this team's starting lineup alongside Vooch, and we got to worry about getting Lowry his shots, if that is a problem that is no longer on the table, and we see what we saw from Patrick Williams in his first and second game playing with Vooch and Zach, with Lowry coming off the bench, that looks like a more aggressive Patrick Williams. That looked like a Patrick Williams who was able to benefit from playing with two all-stars who were both at various points through that game drawing double teams. So absolutely, P-Dub could be that third piece to benefit from playing alongside the two other stars and turn into a quasi-third star himself.
Would I bet on that happening over the next, 2.5 years? This season and two more seasons while you still theoretically have Vooch and you have Zach LaVine under contract? Probably not. And that's no slight to Patrick Williams either. It's just, it's going to take a little bit of time, especially about how young he is. Still has so much time to develop. We don't necessarily need him to be that guy. He could be. We don't need him to be that guy. I do agree with your point that I would be... The only way I see like a Beal, LaVine, Vooch team, like that's our big three, is if you're just planning to outscore people and you're going to score 150 fucking points a night, man. Like, that would be your plan because your defense is going to be shoddy. So your plan is to beat people 150 to 139. And that's sort of what Denver's trying to do, but they've had one critical piece on every single one of these teams over the last couple of years that AK has built. He's had a piece that can play defense at a very high level, whether it be Grant at the four, name a guy, Torrey Craig coming off the bench being a defender, Will Barton being a defender. He's had multiple pieces on that team to supplement guys that may have some defensive inefficiencies. This team needs that guy, and I think it's a lot of pressure to ask Patrick Williams to do that on the defensive side. Again, I like being in the conversation of talking about adding a possible third star to this group, but if they do it with Beal, first of all, they would have to figure out how to pay him. Second of all, that would be my question. Are you just going to try to outscore people and it's screw the defense? Hopefully you don't have somebody dropping 70 or 80 on you in a night. But that would be the plan, is offensive minded. We're just going to outscore people. We're not going to concern ourselves a ton with the defense.
Right. Which, hey, we get to watch the Brooklyn Nets test that theory this season. So
James Harden, right? Is just going off, dude. And recently too. And it's unfortunate that we have to see them. this weekend.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate. But like I said, hey, maybe a trap game for the Nets. Jordan, we'll get to some more mailbag. Got an interesting question about De'Aaron Fox that I saw in our inbox. But first, I want to tell you guys about Sport Trade. Have you heard about it? It's where fantasy sports meet the stock market. Amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robinhood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their stat performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. Two, good old-fashioned supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside or grab the blue chip vet who's always performing. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Just go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. So don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com.
Today's episode is also brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions about your vehicle and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands in the warehouses happen to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, Jordan. Speaking of this team needing a point guard, we've got a text here from the 612 saying, before I ask this, just want to say, who would have known we'd grab Uchi Mane? So hypothetically speaking, what would we give up to get De'Aaron Fox from the Kings without giving up Zach and Vooch? I love De'Aaron Fox, Jordan. Obviously, he would be an upgrade for the Bulls at that position. As far as the question of what did he have to give up, I mean, the Kongs are stupid, but they're not that stupid. And they're not being run by the same stupid front office anymore, much like our beloved Bulls. So I don't think you could fleece them for De'Aaron Fox in a way that maybe low-key AK and Eversley managed to fleece teams to get players not only like Vooch, because I think they gave up fair value for him, but I think Theis fleeced the Celtics with that one. Troy Brown Jr., I think that was a steal from Washington. So, I mean, maybe they're interested in Coby White, although he's certainly no De'Aaron Fox. He's not even close. No offense to Kobe. Lowry is expiring, so you'd have to like talk them into like a sign and trade or saying, yeah, we really want him and we want first rights on re-signing him. I don't know if they're that interested in Lowry. And then the other thing you're talking about is draft capital. Beyond that, the Bulls, you know, traded away some of their tradable assets. So you also gave up 2021 and 2023. So you'd probably need to toss in a 2022 or a 2024 first round pick, don't you think?
Oh yeah. I think it starts with Patrick Williams. I think they're farting in the phone and hanging up on you if you say, yeah, the three guys that are off the table, Zach LaVine, Vooch, and Patrick Williams, are like, yeah, hell no, we're not even having a conversation if Patrick Williams is out of this deal. That's the only way you get to keep your three and build around your three stars. I could see De'Aaron Fox in the next couple of years if things continue to go downward for the Kings, him asking out. And I know the Heat have been rumored for a long time around him as well. So you'd be battling other teams too, calling them and trying to come up with the best package. So if you are serious about getting your point guard of the future, he's already signed to his rookie extension through 5 years. Fine, that's okay, but know that you would have to give up Patrick Williams. If you did this summer, it would be Kobe White. You would re-sign Lauri Markkanen into a long-term deal, and you would include Patrick Williams. You would trade your 2025 first-round pick unprotected and probably your 2027. That's how valuable I think De'Aaron Fox is. De'Aaron Fox could be a superstar, man. If he was on any other team, if he was on 26 of 30 other teams in the league, he would be an absolute star. He would be even more of a star than he is right now in Sacramento. That's the cost that I think it would take in order for the Kings to be able to trade him.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, man.
Do you want to give that up? Would you do that?
Would not come cheap. Oh, man. I don't know. I don't feel a strong pull towards a definitely yes or a definitely no. I mean, like, which probably means it would be a fair deal, right? If both teams or the fans of both teams walk away thinking like, ah, damn, this trade is not great. I feel like we gave up too much, but both teams feel like that. That probably means it's a fair trade.
I think you're right too. It's a whole hell of a lot to give up, but you're getting the star, and then you're getting your third star next to Zach and Vooch. So I don't know. I just don't think the Kings are, unless De'Aaron Fox is like, yeah, I'm not going to play until you trade me. If he pulls like an Anthony Davis type deal, otherwise I think the Kings would just say
something. Or James Harden, right?
Yes, like, yes. Or a Harden.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
I'll just be at the buffet of the strip club until you trade me.
Seriously. Or just pull like a, pull a James Harden. Is like, I'm going to be out of shape and not help contribute at all. Put up like my career lows. Yeah, that I don't see Fox being that type of guy, but he's going to be honest too. If he's really unhappy, he's not afraid to be honest. So, thanks for the text. Let's get to another voicemail really quick, Matt, before we get to some more text messages. This comes from the 641. This was the other night during the Suns game.
Hey, this one's directed towards Matt. I'm sitting here watching this game. I just recall a few hours ago, Matt saying, not excited to see Denzel Valentine shooting the three ball tonight. He's out here 19 points, and he's taking shots 5 feet behind the three, and is absolutely splashing them. That's all. Have a good one.
Flex on him, Denzel!
And then what happened? Because I'm pretty sure me and my guys, Big Dave and John, were laughing our asses off as that fourth quarter progressed, and Denzel continued to chuck up shots and stayed stuck at 19 points for the entirety of that fourth quarter. Dude was still chucking and not hitting diddly shit when the Bulls were trying to get an impressive win in crunch time on the road against a very good team. Denzel has no business taking those shots. End of story.
I just wish Denzel wasn't so trigger happy, but I guess you don't have any other option, man. When Lowry's deciding I'm going to only take three shots in the second half, it's like, okay, who else is going to shoot? Vooch shot 13 times in the second half. He didn't have a great second half in that Suns game. If Denzel would just fill up the box score like you were doing, in the second half he had four assists and two rebounds instead of chucking up threes, but yeah, he's a streaky shooter. It's either Denzel's going to hit four, five, six threes in a night, or he's going to go 1 for 9 or 2 for 9. Yeah.
And I mean, like, I think we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier in the week when we were dealing with the Zach resting in the ankle news and, all right, what's going to happen with the rotation? And you telling me, you're like, dude, Denzel's coming back. I just don't get it. And it's not just that I'm trying to be, you know, like a funny, cynical asshole with my Denzel hate. And, you know, I know that it bugs Fred that I rag on him all the time. We all have the players that we protect. We all have the players that we rag on. It's just like common nature as a sports fan. But if I'm the Bulls front office, sure, I gave Denzel a qualifying because if he can do something, it's knock down threes. Great. This team needed shooting. Clearly, the new front office values shooting. But I think the new head coach took a look at Denzel Valentine I was like, okay, I know what this dude is. He's a trigger happy guy who's got confidence oozing out of every orifice. Good for him. You want some of that, but he's probably got too much of it for his particular set of skills. So I'm not rushing to play this guy every night. And he's probably not going to be here long term. So there might be some fans out there saying, well, you know, Denzel's points off the bench kept them in the game. That could theoretically be true. Denzel needs to play minutes off the bench to keep the Bulls in the playoff hunt. That could theoretically be true, although I think less so. But to me, again, it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier, Jordan, about certain people in this fan base being wildly impatient right now. It's not about the last 20 games and a play-in mini-series as the 9th or 10th seed. It's about way more than that. And it's about the near future more than it is about the immediate present. So while you got these new pieces, Javonte Green, Troy Brown Jr., throw them out there. Put them in the rotation ahead of Denzel, ahead of Archie. Because you know what you have with those guys.
You know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
I'm with you, though. I want to see a little bit more of Javonte Green, man. I think I want to see a little bit more of him. And let Troy Brown Jr., for better or for worse, we just need to find out, can he shoot consistently? Some say yes. He's had streaks where he shot really well, like you were talking about last year. Specifically in the bubble, he had a really good stretch of games in the bubble as well. This year, he's been kind of on and off, but just needs some consistency. But again, Denzel had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He's very smart. He's got high basketball IQ when he's on the floor. He knows where he's a great passer, too. It's the trigger happy that gets them in trouble, gets that lineup specifically in trouble. He does so many other things so well for this team, too, in spots. It's just, I'm with you, it's man. Like, sometimes it's like, let me shoot everything.
It makes me chuckle to hear the phrase basketball IQ when describing Denzel and saying he's got a great basketball IQ. I mean, can he make some slick passes at times? Sure. Does that in itself represent a player who has a high basketball IQ? It's like, oh, okay, well, so I took these, standardized tests, the ACT or the SAT to get ready for, you know, my college applications. And I did really well in this portion. And then I got a -8 on the written part, or I got a -8 on the math part. Guess what? Your combined score fucking sucks. I don't want to hear about Denzel having a high basketball IQ when he's jacking up shots that he shouldn't. That immediately disqualifies you from being a player with a high basketball IQ. It means your confidence is bigger than your brains, and that's not good.
Well, good news for you is, yeah, once Garrett Temple and or Coby White or Zach LaVine come back, I think Denzel has shifted out of the rotation again, but I could be wrong on that. I'm telling you, I'm not wrong about that. I don't feel like debating about Denzel either. It's not even worth the time. So
let's move on. Speaking of moving on, Jordan, we'll get to a couple more pieces of mailbag before we get out of here for the weekend. But got to tell you guys about Built Bar. We've been telling you about them for a long time now. And without a doubt, I'm not just saying this, best tasting protein bars I've ever had. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. After we finish recording, I'm going to get in my workout for the day and then I'm going to reward myself with a Built Bar. Haven't decided what flavor yet. Maybe peanut butter, maybe mint brownie, maybe one of those new birthday cake with sprinkles that they got, Jordan. Woo, those are good. Go to BuiltBar.com right now to see all of their amazing flavor options, as well as their other products. They got, you know, stuff for immune system boost and hydration and all that kind of great stuff, too, in addition to their protein bars. Also, follow them on Twitter to see all of their newest products at bar_built on Twitter. When you go to BuiltBar.com, remember to use that promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 50% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup. We already told you, it's coconut brownie junk, baby.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The tournament's going on right now. The final 4 teams are selected. Those games are taking place this weekend. If you want to bet on those, you want to bet on the Bulls game, still on the West Coast road trip tonight against Utah, you can do that as well. You can bet on the NHL, which is in full swing as well. And opening day just happened yesterday, so if you want to try your luck at baseball, you can do that too. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline is you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Deposit $100, they're going to give you $50. Go to betonline.ag right now and sign up for that account. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I'm not.
All right, Matt, let's go to a couple of more texts before we get out of here for the weekend.
So, Jordan, somebody from the 570 texted us a link to this YouTube video. Patrick Williams is the NBA's most underrated rookie. Chicago Bulls breakdown from The Void. I also, last night and again this morning, saw a video breakdown for The Ringer by Kevin O'Connor talking about how Patrick Williams is perhaps one of the more unnoticed but brimming with potential members of this 2020 rookie class. There's some noise going around the league right now about Patrick Williams maybe not being a rookie star, maybe not being in the conversation for rookie of the year, or maybe not even all rookie first team. But fast forward 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a lot of national NBA talking heads recently have started to finally turn those heads towards Patrick Williams, as our texter points out, which is pretty exciting.
Is that before or after they tell us that we have a ceiling on this team already in, you know, less than 24 hours after a trade goes down? I mean,
dude, I love our guy Nick Friedel, man. I know a lot of Bulls fans hated him for whatever reasons. I always enjoyed him, and I think
I'm a big fan too, man.
I think he's a great dude, and he's been super cool with us. But he was on the jump, like after the Vooch trade went down. And was just like, they're, you know, they made a trade to get back to what they tore down with Jimmy. And it's just like this repeating thing that Friedel keeps bringing up over and over and over. Jimmy. They're just trading, you know, and sacrificing future assets to get back to where they were when they tore it down with Jimmy. And I'm like, Nick, I love you, buddy, but you haven't been around in a while. And I don't think that you see everything that's going on.
I was talking more specifically about our guy that who I think has been a Bulls pessimistic Bulls observer from a national point of view ever since this season started. And I don't know why, but Zach Lowe, man, he was the one putting a ceiling on this team already, like immediately after they made this trade. And I was listening to the podcast. I was like, wait, why are we already talking about a ceiling on this team when we've never seen Zach play with an all-star before? I was like, I'm blown away. But I will say this. I know he loves the Hawks. He loves that Hawks rebuild. And that's been his thing over the last year or so. So I get it. And Bulls fans can be very polarizing too with some of the response, even if you critique the team a little bit, especially from national point of view. So maybe he's got a lot of Bulls fans in his mentions or something yelling at him. I don't know. But I was just like, I was blown away. I was like, no. The first conversation shouldn't be about what the ceiling is on this team and just getting back to the top four or five in the East. I'm like, it's way too early to even have those conversations. I was like, maybe at the end of this season. But I'm like, let's wait 2 months to next season to really have those conversations.
Yeah, totally right. You know, Zach Lowe was saying, you know, I get why Bulls fans are excited about this trade, and I think it's a good trade. But he said, you know, it's not a great trade for me because he's like you said, not sure that it moves the needle all that much. But whether it's the national talking heads or certain people that I've seen on Bulls Twitter or texting us over the last few days post trade with a few losses on the road against good teams with a hobbled or without Zach LaVine. It's baffling to me that some people have already made their minds up about this trade being a mistake. Jordan, let's take this email from Matt Duncan. Said, hey, guys, not so much a Bulls question, but a general NBA question. I'm curious if you think the play-in seeds have decreased the team's desires to tank in the second half of the season. In past seasons, I think a 10 seed would strongly consider tanking. There's no way our Bulls are doing that now, not only because the Magic have our draft pick, but also because I think teams will see a 9th or 10th seed as still being able to get possible, valuable playoff experience. What do you think? Cheers, Matt. Thanks for checking in, Matt. I think this is a good point. Certainly between the play-in edition after a couple of years ago, remapping the percentage breakdowns of where teams stack up in the draft lottery standings, percentages of landing that number one overall pick or a top three pick, a top four pick. The league's done a lot in recent years to try to do away with tanking because I think they see it as not a good thing for the league. And I would generally agree with that sentiment. I think right now with the Vooch trade, the Bulls made it very clear they're trying to make a playoff push instead of tanking. Certainly, there are still some teams who are like, all right, we're you know, the Pistons traded away Blake Griffin and are bad. You know, their rookie, Killian Hayes, has been, you know, injured most of the year. Nothing really exciting going on in Detroit. Orlando selling off not only Vooch, but Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. That's obviously a tank. And I, you know, maybe a couple other teams like Cleveland. But I think it's still fewer teams than it was a few years ago. Wouldn't you agree with Matt that there that like there's just like a lot less incentive to tank now?
I would say so, but you got to think about too the timing in which like the Bulls picked a weird time to rebuild because a lot of other teams were doing the same thing. It was like a race to tank as opposed to a race to compete. And I don't know if that was part and because of where LeBron was at the time going to the Lakers, and then on top of that, you still had Golden State with their dynasty, and everybody was kind of in a position where it was like, if you don't have three stars to beat Golden State, then I don't know what you're doing right now. Like, you're pretty much putting a cap on your team at winning maybe the East, and if you're a team in the West, then you're taking on Golden State year after year. To me, I think this is a good idea too, and I think a lot of players have realized that they don't want to go to places that are continue to lose, and it takes a long time to get back from losing. Think about it. If LeBron didn't go to the Lakers, like, what is that team? When do they make the playoffs next? You know, does Brandon Ingram become the guy he is? Does Lonzo Ball become the guy he is? Does D'Angelo Russell become the guy he is? Like, all of these pieces that ended up moving on ended up having good careers other places. But if that team stuck together, I question how long it would have taken them to get back to the playoffs. Think about how long it took the Celtics to do what they did. And they struck lucky, too. A lot of these teams struck lucky. Think about the 76ers as well. How many picks did they miss on? So without getting extremely lucky in the draft, I think teams have started to realize over the last 10 years is like, yeah, tanking's fine if you absolutely have to, but realize that you're going to probably be out of the playoffs for a minimum of 5 to 6 years. And that sucks, especially for a big market team like ours, Matt. Like, a big market team shouldn't be out of the playoffs for 4 or 5 seasons. And in smaller markets, you can make it work and you sometimes have to, but here, that shouldn't be the standard. And I think players are being deterred from those locations. Even thinking about us, we can't even sign a top free agent right now. That's where we're at in terms of a rebuild. And I think we got a good taste of how much it sucks to rebuild.
It's not fun. Those of us who are old enough to remember the, not obviously the greatness of the dynasty, but how brutal the shift was immediately post-dynasty. You know, Jordan, I know you're a little younger than me. I'm not sure how much you remember of the Tim Floyd era, but those were some really dark years, man. It was bad. It was really, really bad. It puts everything in context and perspective. And certainly towards the end of the you-know-who era, along with Gar and Pax, it got close to being that bad. And this fan base was fed up. And those of us who remember were saying, dude, this is as bad, if not worse, as the goddamn post-dynasty Tim Floyd era. And that was garbage. So, yes, I understand that there is a desire to say enough of the tanking. Get out of here. We got to get out of the basement and back towards contention. Personally, I think that a team like the Bulls, like you had just kind of spoken to, are too big of an organization to ever accept being bad for that many years in a row. And I know a lot of it is about Jerry, Grandpa Jerry, who still operates this like a mom and pop shop, right? That's what Bulls fans always say. Southside Sox fans bitch about the same things with his baseball team. The hope is if they were willing to listen to John, say, guys, we got to move on. I got to step down. You got to let me step down and bring in some fresh eyes and some other people. If they were willing to spend big on those new people, because we know that Eversley and AK did not come cheap. And some of the other executives that they hired, JJ Polk and the like, did not come cheap. They hired new people for their training staff. They hired probably the most expensive head coach on the market as soon as he became available, and were willing to spend the money on that. We're seeing more and more signs that whether it's Jerry not giving a crap in his old age or his son Michael convincing him that this is what needs to be done, that those changes are finally taking shape. And if that trend continues, maybe the Bulls will go back to being the freaking Bulls, a team that the best of the best as far as players in the league want to come play for, and they want to win here, because it's not looked down upon around the league that players, when they get traded or leave in free agency, get to their other team and meet other players and befriend other players and say, oh man, stay away from Chicago. That place is a dumpster fire. They treat their players like crap. They're a laughingstock, et cetera, et cetera. We have got to move past that. And that is the thing that will make the Bulls not even worry about tanking anymore.
See, that's the tough thing to realize as a fan, and I've started to realize that a little bit more, is word got around that it wasn't a whole lot of fun to be in Chicago, and it was just a mess. And it's not just this team. Our example is this team because we cover it every day, but it's happened to multiple different organizations. Think about how long it takes to get back to a place of respect. People were laughing at the Bulls. The only time the Bulls ever got brought up nationally was to get laughed at, or something ridiculous happened. I think I've started to slowly realize that even, say, if Vooch in Levine isn't the long-term answer here, this 3 to 4 year window that you have, even short-term, say you don't do any contracts, the next 2 years in their push to win and get back to relevancy in some respect, even if that doesn't garner a championship or an Eastern Conference Finals, I think it puts you in the right direction, and it lays some solid ground for this new front office to say, hey, we got back, we fixed the things that were going wrong here, and this is who we are, and now we have some people to kind of back that up, even if they're not here in Chicago long term. Even if Zach goes somewhere else and things end on a positive note, he's gonna tell people, yes, I had a great time in Chicago. Things are going in the right direction there. Guys talk to each other all the time. That is, I think, been one of the biggest deterrents out of just being a bad team on the floor, is it's been dysfunction, and it's been talked about around leagues. Players know as well as anybody, as the fans covering it close. If guys tell them to stay away, they stay away. So I agree with all of that. So that's my realization, is even if this doesn't work out to being coming the next championship team in the next 2 or 3 years, or even contending, having those conversations, it lays solid groundwork for the new front office and Billy Donovan as a coach to say, hey, we made organizational changes. We actually want free agents to come here. And here's the examples of us doing that. I think that helps. I think it's going to take some time. And organizations don't get back after falling to where the Bulls fell quickly. It's going to take some time. So the tell tanking thing, to get back to that really quick, yes, I do think it's an incentive, but I ultimately think it comes down to money. I think it comes down to money, and the more teams that are exciting around the league, the more fan bases stay interested throughout the season, and it's just another way for them to make money, and it's a good idea. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with having a play-in game. I think it's cool. It adds another element to the NBA to be exciting and to bring in new fans.
Yeah, man. Doesn't that sound awesome? I mean, I know that we're not there yet at the United Center, but man, fans just need to get back into the building and cheer for this team again. With these exciting trades, and a new energy, new front office, new coach. There's so much new about this team that the fans haven't been able to go and support in person yet. Now that certain people have been fired or replaced, a lot of those Bulls fans saying, I ain't spending another dime until this person's gone or that person's gone, or they finally make some sweeping organizational changes. To all of those Bulls boycotters, I fully supported and understood your reasons for doing so. But now, God, God, how bad do you want to get to the United Center for a Bulls game, man? Like, oh my God, I miss it so much.
And the fun thing is I know right now it doesn't seem like it, but winning is going to happen, and it's going to happen quite frequently if Zach and Vooch are here for the next 2 years and things stay similar. Like, the winning's going to come. I'm very confident in what has been built already here in year one. It's been a bumpy road. It's been mostly positive. I'm confident. I'm confident that if the next time fans are allowed back in the United Center and it is a full banging crowd, there's going to be a lot of winning over the next couple of years. Maybe not a championship, but there's going to be steps back into relevancy. I'm confident on that. But yes, I'm super excited. I want to go to a game. As soon as we're allowed to go back to a game, I want to get to one. Because this team deserves my support now. I agree with you about fans not wanting to support the team as much because the changes aren't made, and it felt like the same thing over and over. This is when you go out and support them. You go out and support them when they make the right changes. And I think there's a ton of fans out there that want to do that too. So that'll add another element of positivity for the players too, Matt. I can only imagine what kind of energy that's going to bring the first time that place is loaded up or near capacity again. Right. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm sure that will be a big moment for Vooch. Zach and a lot of his teammates are already here. They know what it's like. But Vooch, for an international kid who grew up decked out in Bulls gear, obsessed with Michael Jordan, you know, caught the tail end of the 90s in his early, early childhood. His first starting lineups with a going bananas United Center crowd at capacity, I'm sure that is going to give that dude goosebumps, because I still feel it as a fan. And knowing that he was a big fan of the team when he was just a kid, I'm sure that the first time that the UC is really rocking like that, Vooch is going to take a moment and be like, whoa, holy crap.
A lot of those guys, too. Like, you think about Patrick Williams will do that, and who knows, even maybe next season, too. A lot of the guys that'll come in for the first time. It's going to be a cool experience, and I'm glad Vooch is here. And thanks for the text. Thanks for the voicemails. Everybody that's dropped us a reaction to the trade deadline over the last week has been absolutely insane. So thanks. Continue to hit us up. If you have any thoughts over the weekend, you can hit us up at any time at 331-979-1369. Your text messages, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back next week with some fresh episodes. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
This episode of Locked On Bulls was brought to you by Sport Trade. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meet the stock market. Amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Money making with Sport Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their stats performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value. Two, good old-fashioned supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you want, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, profitable new world of sports trading. It's truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to lockedonbulls.com.
Thanks a lot.